Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
If you got your Bibles this morning, we'll be in Matthew chapter 5 in just a few moments. But I got to start this morning with a confession. I've been told it's good for your soul, so I'll just start try to get my soul right this morning. And I'll just be honest, sometimes I wish people didn't know that I was a pastor. Matter of fact, there are some moments in life where I really wish people didn't even know I was a believer. There's moments when I'm driving through town and someone is driving differently than I want them to drive. And I think, boy, if I didn't have this bumper sticker on my truck that said the assembly, I could really do something a little bit differently than what I'm going to do. But the fact that I know that it does say our church's name on the back of my truck causes me to drive a little bit differently than I would have. I'm just saying sometimes I'd rather blend in than I would stand out. Don't we all have moments like that? Do you ever have moments where you wish you didn't have to be quite as spiritual as you know you need to be? In that moment, you know, it's really easy for us to go through life and complain about the dark world we live in. It's really easy to just complain about what's wrong in culture, what's wrong in society, what's wrong in government, what's wrong in family, what's wrong in church. But I want to challenge you this morning that there is something better than you can do besides cursing darkness. What you can do that is better than cursing darkness is that you can actually be the light. You can be the example of God's love. You can be the example of God's care. You can be an example of God's character in the middle of a dark world. You can bring the light of Jesus to wherever you go. See, it's really easy for us to and we can even get excited about talking about what's wrong. But I want to preach to you for a few moments this morning the fact that Jesus has called you and I not to just curse the darkness, but God has called us to be a light. He's called us to be an example. He's called us to be Jesus with skin on, if you will, that people, when they look at us, they can see a clear picture of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do through our lives. And so, if you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking here in verse number 14. He says these words: "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we thank you this morning that your word always works. Your word always goes forward and accomplishes what you meant it to accomplish, do what you've called it to do. And I pray this morning the word will work in me, and the word will work in us. So Lord, anoint me today to speak the word of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, and we'll give you thanks for it, and we'll all respond accordingly. And everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. So Jesus spent a lot of time, if you read much of the New Testament, Jesus would say things like this: "I am the light of the world." John the Baptist in John chapter, John the writer said in John chapter 1 that of John the Baptist that he came to be the light. But he wasn't the light. He came to make way for the light. John the Baptist would say, "Don't look at me, I'm not the light, but the one coming after me is the light. And in him there is no darkness at all." And the him John was speaking of was Jesus. And so it's pretty common knowledge that Jesus is the light of the world. How many would say, "Yeah, I buy that"? Jesus is the light of the world. But Jesus changes everything in the scripture that we just read. Because now he's not saying that I'm the light of the world. He's saying you. You, me, the assembly, the church of Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. This is a cosmic shift. from Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, like he did in John chapter 8, to saying in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world. Because as I said a few moments ago, sometimes my life would be a little bit simpler if I didn't have to be the light of the world. If I didn't have to be Jesus with skin on, if I didn't have to represent him, if I could just blend in instead of sticking out, sometimes life for me would be easier. I think if we would be honest today, there's certain moments of your life where you wish you could just blend in as well. But here's the thing. God's not called us to blend in. He's called us to stand out. He's called us to be the light of the world. And I want to talk to you real quickly about how can we be the light of the world, especially in this dark world that we live in today. How many would agree that the world we live in today needs to see the light of Jesus? Amen. We need the light of Jesus in our homes, in our schools, in our families, in our workplaces. We need the light of Jesus. Once again, I know, listen, don't send me hate mail, but I know we take pride in being a Christian nation. But if you will look at the stats of what's coming out of our country today, we are, what is more accurate to say is we are a post-Christian nation. Pastor, I don't like you saying that. Well, good. Be the light of the world, and we can change it. Amen. I know you didn't shout very loud right then. And I think, I'm not going to let you off the hook. I think the reason you're not shouting is because for us to be the light of the world isn't necessarily waiting on God to do something, but rather is waiting on God for us to do something. So how can we be the light of the world? I want to answer that question this morning. Number one, realize that you are the light of the world. Pastor, you've already said that. Well, I'm going to say it again because I think you missed it the first time, because I know I've read the scripture many, many, many times, and I never got the fact that what the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me the last few weeks on this message is this. When it says you are the light of the world, that word you is singular. In other words, if we are not the light of the world, God doesn't have a plan B to be the light of the world. You, this guy, hit yourself so you know you're there. All right? That person you just hit, that is the person who is the light of the world, and God doesn't have a plan B. We can spend our whole life cursing the darkness, but friend, if we don't stand up and be the light, it doesn't matter how hard we pray, it doesn't matter how bad we hate our surroundings, until you and I realize we've been called the light of the world will stay dark. I mean, you can go into your closet this afternoon with a flashlight and you can think, boy, I wish it was bright in here. I wish I had a light in here. I wish there was some way that I could see what's going on. But until you make the decision that I'm going to push the button and let the light that I have shine, guess what? It's going to stay dark. And there's a lot of, I know I'm meddling a little bit this morning, but just forgive me and I'll be back with you being spiritual in a minute. But there's a whole lot of teaching and preaching and news channel talking heads today that if you will let them, they will waste 24 hours of your day talking about how dark the world is, and it's never going to bring one moment of results what one believer could accomplish if they would simply say, I will be the light of the world. We were driving home the other night. Stella and I were in my truck, and if you're new to our church, Stella is my four-year-old daughter, and we were driving home, and she looked out the window, and she said, Daddy, look how bright the moon is shining. I said, yeah, baby, that's really bright. But in my mind, I could hear my science teacher from junior high school telling me that actually the moon doesn't have any light at all. It has no power to produce light. It can only what? Reflect light. You and I and ourselves, I understand that we don't have any light to shine in this darkness. You and I and ourselves, we don't have anything of ourselves that can change the world, change our lives, change our community, unless what we do have is the light of Jesus that shines in our life. And I'm just like the moon, you and I have a choice. See, the moon can reflect the sunlight and provide light. Even at night, in dark places, the moon can provide a reflection of the sun. But have you ever seen an eclipse before? Brother Steve, that same moon that once reflected light can now block the light. I want to ask you this morning, are we being light reflectors or light blockers? Because the same object has the potential to do both things. And friends, you and I have the same, we have the same capacity to be light reflectors or light blockers. And I want to challenge you this morning, let's be light reflectors in the world today. The German atheist philosopher Nietzsche once said that if he saw more redeemed people, he might be more inclined to believe in their Redeemer. Let's be light reflecting people. Just like the sun is our singular source of sunlight on planet Earth, we got to remember that Jesus is the singular source of light spiritually to our world today. But the only way the world is going to see it is when you and I realize that you, me, we are the light of the world. It's really easy to just hope that somehow the light, the world will not get darker. It's really easy to hope that the job environment we work in would get brighter, that compromise would be practiced less, and that integrity would be practiced more. It's easier to wish, it's easy to wish and hope that our schools were places of healing and not places where kids get hurt. But friends, all the wishing in the world will not change anything. But if you and I will be the reflection of Jesus, if we will realize we are the light of the world, then that can change not just something, it can change everything. So let's realize we are the light of the world. Here's the second thing this morning. You've been waiting to tell the person beside you all day long this statement, so here's permission. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, stop being a basket case. Jesus said, does a man light a lamp and put it under a basket? And the answer is what? No. What does he do? He puts it on a stand for all the world to see. And many of us have good intentions of letting our light, as Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and give praise to your heavenly Father. Many of us have very good intentions. We even pray, Lord, let my light so shine before men that they will see my good works and give praise to God. And I believe that when we first give our hearts to Jesus, a lot of that light shining kind of happens automatically. You don't even have to think about it because you're yielding so much of your life to Jesus for the first time that people around you, they automatically see the difference. You used to go to these places with them and you don't go there anymore. You used to embrace certain activities that you don't embrace anymore. You used to not make your church priority, but now you make it a priority. You used to not pray or spend time in God's Word, and now you do. And all these things that is just kind of naturally happening because you started following Jesus, it's shining out. And people are paying attention that, wow, that person is different than they used to be. But the longer we follow Jesus, the more temptation comes our way. More opportunities to take that light that was shining bright and cause it to be covered. And we don't make the decision, I think I'll hide my light today. I think I'll stop serving God today. I think I'll not let my witness be so strong today. We don't make that choice. We just wake up and we start making decisions that seem innocent, we don't really realize what we're doing. See, there's certain things that will make you a basket case. There's certain things that will make you hide your light under a basket. There's several things that can hide your light. One of the most obvious thing that would hide your light as a believer is sin, right? Sin clearly defined is, or simply defined, is anything that separates us from God. Anything that's not pleasing to the Father, that's sin. And every time I choose to sin, what happens is my light that the world sees gets compromised. It shines a little bit less than it used to shine. It's hidden by my sin. See, sin skews, we're supposed to reflect Jesus, and sin skews that image. Let me take a survey. How many of you are old enough to remember Polaroid cameras? Matter of fact, someone told me they're starting to make a comeback. Do you remember those? Yeah, there's a picture of one. Like, it was world-breaking, earth-shattering technology. You took a picture and instantly, like 3 minutes later, you got a picture of what it was. But if you couldn't wait 3 minutes, and how many say, 3 minutes is a long time, isn't it? If you're popping popcorn, if you're waiting for a picture to develop, 3 minutes is a long time. And so none of us that were alive in the 70s and 80s, none of us could wait. Listen, teenagers, if your parents ever tell you you need to have more patience, just remind them of Polaroid cameras. Because none of them had patience. The instructions clearly say to take the picture and lay it on the counter and don't touch it. But how many shakers I got in the building? Right? You did, and you shook it, right? Because somebody somewhere convinced us if they shake it, it's gonna turn quicker. Somebody I'll do a science project on wanting to know if it really, I don't know if it works or not. But here's what I do know. If you look halfway through the process, what you took a picture of, I mean, you can kind of tell that it's supposed to be a picture of somebody, but you can't really tell, do they have hair or not have hair? Do they have green eyes or blue eyes? It's just kind of fuzzy. And the more you shake it, the clearer it became, until finally it looked like an image of what you just took. What sin does is sin is kind of like a Polaroid in reverse. It skews the image of Jesus in our life. It skews what God wants people to see in our lives. And so what does God do? He shakes us a little bit. He molds us a little bit to make him look more and more like him. But every time we have not just sin, because we all mess up. More than once a day, we sin. But what skews God's image in us is not that sin where we messed up. It's that unconfessed sin that we harbor and we hide that causes us to look more like us instead of less like Jesus. Here's the second thing that can try to hide your light. Second thing that will make you a basket case is pain. The enemy hopes that the pain you go through, whether it's physical pain like sickness or whether it's heart pain like disappointment in a relationship or disappointment in people, he's hoping that the hardship of life will hide the light that God has for you. The Apostle Paul knew something about that. That's when he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "Now we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. For we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. When I get kicked down, I'm not destroyed. Though suffering, our bodies continue to share, or through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. The Apostle Paul said, I know what it's like to have pain try to darken my witness. I know what it's like to try to have pain break me, and hopefully in the process of breaking me, it will overshadow what God is doing in my life. But Paul said, even though I'm pressed, I'm not going to be crushed. And even though I'm troubled on every side, it's not going to let the light of the gospel cease to be seen in my life. We sang that song a few moments ago about we raise a hallelujah. That's about praising and worshiping God despite the problems in your life. And friends, when you do that, what you are doing is you are letting your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and give praise to our Heavenly Father. I've said it 100 times, but let's make it 101. Your testimony whispers in easy times, but it shouts in hard times. Amen. The light of God will shine brightest in the seasons of your life when life seems the darkest. So don't let pain cloud your light. Don't let it cover your light. I just want to tell you, if you're sick this morning, let your light shine. If you got fired this week, let your light shine. If you're recently divorced, let your light shine. If your marriage is in trouble, let your light shine. If your job is in the pits this morning, yet let your light shine. If life has been going completely opposite of how you wanted it to go, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and give praise to your Heavenly Father. Why? Because light shines brightest in the darkest places. So don't let pain be a covering for the light of hope that's inside of you. Third this morning, or C, don't let busyness make you a basket case. It's been said that the devil can't make you bad, he'll just make you busy. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul mentions this guy by the name of Demas. And it simply says that he's deserted me because he loves this life more than he loves the gospel, more than he loves the work of God. In other words, Demas had better things to do than to follow Jesus. And we live in a very busy world. I mean, very rarely do I ask someone, hey, how's it going? Do they say, slow and easy? I mean, I asked at least a dozen of you this morning as you were coming into church, hey, how's it going? And the most popular response this morning was, do you know what it was? Busy. We are busy people. Matter of fact, sometimes we take pride in our busyness. Sometimes we compare our busyness to each other. Well, I bet I'm busier than you are. And we don't come around and say it. We just kind of go down our long list of busyness. But please hear me. Sometimes one of the most grievous things to me as a pastor, sometimes I see people who have made choices, not choices to sin, which brings its own destruction and heartache of itself, but I see people choose to stay in that lifestyle of sin, which brings even, instead of an instant hurt, it's like a lifestyle of hurt and destruction. That's heartbreaking, but I'm convinced that more of God's people are being sidelined from the life that God wants them to have and the difference he wants them to make, not because of sin, but because of busyness. See, busyness has become the sin that no one wants to talk about. Busyness is the sin that the rest of the world applauds. But I want to tell you today, anything that keeps us from shining the light, from being the light of the world that God wants us to be, to us, that's sin. So don't let busyness. Well, Pastor, everybody's doing it. You know, my parents didn't buy that excuse when I was a kid. And Romans 12 doesn't buy it either, because it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, I don't have a solution. I mean, I could give you some ideas, but I don't have a solution for your business because I don't have a solution for my business. I'm just saying this morning, don't let your busyness cover the light of the gospel that's inside of you. But instead, in the midst of your busyness, let God be seen. Let Jesus be seen. Realizing, point number three, I'm going to speed up here. Number three, realize your vocation is your location for ministry. Look at verse number 15. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. No, he puts it on a stand so that everyone can see. Now, when you walk out the church this afternoon, you're going to look across the parking lot, and all around this property, we have these huge lights that shine on different parts of our property. And sometimes one over here will go out. Sometimes those over there go out. Sometimes the ones in the back go. And they go out, and we're always having to call whoever the people are. We call the people, and they bring their big trucks, and they come up there, and they have to change those lights out, and they have to climb up over here, they have to climb up over there. And so I've been thinking, wouldn't it be easier on them if we get all the lights on the whole property, and we just put them on one pole out there? Then they could just climb one pole instead of three. Does that sound like a good idea? No, why not? You mean you think those lights on our parking lot are strategically placed? You think someone actually thought about where to put those? That's amazing. I wonder if the God of the universe, who spoke and began the world, the God of the universe who created our humanity and every system of our body. I think how many systems are at work right now just inside your body. I wonder if the God of the universe was also strategic in where he placed your life. I think he is. I think God placed in places, each one of us, in places around the city, in places around the world. And yes, many of those places are dark. But he has set you there like a light on a stand. Not to be hidden, so that you can be the light of the world in that place. I believe that there's so many times we get this destination disease. That thinks one day, someday, I'll have more time, I'll have a better position, I'll be more comfortable, my kids will not be sick, and all this stuff, and when all the stars align, then I'll be like this lamp on a stand, and I will be who God's called me to be. But friends, I want to tell you today that where you are right now is where God has placed you strategically to be a light in a dark world. And if you are not the light in that dark place, who will be? Well, Pastor, it'd be easier if I wasn't the only light. Probably. It would be easier if there were three believers in my workplace instead of two. Maybe. But don't let the fact that there's just one, it's just you. You be the light of the world. Your location is God's. It's your vocation is where God wants to use you. It's your location for ministry today. Didn't Jesus say something like, don't say 4 months and then come the harvest? Didn't he say to look up your eyes already, for the fields are white unto harvest? You can be the light of the world right where you are. I like one person said that God can use you at the most distant village across the planet, and God can use you in your local break room as well. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go to work tomorrow and push the tables together in the break room and stand up and start preaching. I mean, they pay you to work, right? Wow. I just believe, since you're responding so well, I just believe that Christian people ought to be the best employees and the best employers. Right? I believe that, and by matter of fact, this isn't actually just a personal belief. It's backed up by the Word of God that Christians should be the most trusted people on their job. That when your boss gives you something to do, he doesn't have to worry. Did it get done, and which attitude is it going to be done in? We do that because doesn't the Bible say that we should do our work on earth as unto the Lord? Yes. Well, Pastor, my boss is a grade A jerk. Danetta says that every Monday. But here's the thing. We're not working for people. We're working for God. Do your work as unto the Lord. Because it feels good? Nope. Because it makes you feel good? Probably not. But because you are the light of the world, a city set up on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know the thing about a city up on a hill? It cannot be hidden ever. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're a city on a hill, you can be seen. If it's daytime, you can see the structures that are on top of the hill from far off. If it's nighttime, you can see the lights of that city from far off. In the same way as believers, we don't get a day off. 24/7, God has called us to stand out and not blend in. And understand that God's placed you in the perfect place to be used by Him. And last this morning, let the evidence of your devotion be seen by all. Travis, you want to come this morning? Matthew said, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Somewhere, some way, I feel like we got this this idea as believers that what we do for Jesus should be done in secret. But this scripture says, let your light so shine, doesn't say before God. It says, let your light so shine before men. It says to let everyone see it. Now, it does say to make sure you're doing this not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. But He is saying we should live our lives so well that our love and our devotion for God is being seen. A few weeks ago, it was raining on a Sunday morning, and people were running out to their cars and trying to get out of here. And there was an elder couple here in our church. And I noticed this gentleman walked his bride all the way out, and they kind of parked out, and it was pouring down raining. And he walked her all the way out there and went to her side of the car, unlocked the door, opened the door, helped her get in, still pouring down rain. He's still standing there, not really in a big hurry, shuts the door, makes sure it's secure, walks around, and by now he's soaking wet. And I'm just sitting there in the lobby, and I'm witnessing. I'm just saying, he didn't give me a 10-minute speech on, I love my wife. He didn't tell me, I care for my wife. He didn't come up to me and say, you know, I'd just about do anything for that lady. I just happened to be watching, and I saw his devotion for his wife on display. And when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men, what he's saying is our devotion for him should be evident. First Peter says it like this: live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Philippians chapter 2 says that we should be blameless and innocent, children of God, that are in the midst of a crooked world, but among whom you should shine as lights in the world. That's what the word says. Acts chapter 13, last scripture of the day. For so the Lord's commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning, because you are the light of the world. We are a city set up on a hill that's designed to give hope and light to all that see it. And you can be that light. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just getting started. I really don't know the Bible very well. There's so many things I don't know. Here's the deal. You've been called to reflect the light of Jesus. Yeah, we are being the light of Jesus as we reflect the light of Jesus. So this isn't about everything that you know or you don't know. This is about us saying, Lord, be seen in me and be seen through me, and remove anything in me that would serve as a basket, that would serve as an eclipse instead of a reflection of you. Listen, you're not in a waiting pattern to become the light of the world. You are the light of the world right now. And if the world is dark, it's only because those who have the light are not reflecting it as bright as we could, as bright as we can. But this morning, let's decide. Let's determine that we will be the light of the world. It's a great task. We have a great God who can enable us to do that. their head bowed, their eyes closed this morning, say, Pastor, this morning, I'm just going to confess, I've been a basket case. I've let my busyness, I've let my sin, and some of you have even let your hurt put a basket on the light of the gospel being seen through your life. And today, you say, Pastor, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me remove anything and everything that's stopping the light of the gospel being seen in my life. Whether it's a hurt, whether it's busyness, whether it's a sin. I'm not going to ask you to identify what it is, but you say, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, telling me, listen, I got to lift this basket off today. I got to make sure my light is shining bright. And just as I was speaking today, the Spirit of God just told you, hey, you got to deal with this morning. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Bless me, Pastor, pray for me. Amen, 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 amen. I want to pray for you in just a moment that God will give you the boldness and the confidence to be the light in the world. Secondly, this morning, this has not really been a message about following Jesus for the first time, but you know this morning you're not following Jesus at all. Maybe you did once upon a time, or maybe you never decided, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. I need to give my life to God and get things right with God. And today you're just keenly aware that things are not right between you and God, and you want to make them right today. I'd love to just include you in prayer in just a moment. Just want to make sure there's no one here today that doesn't need to make that choice, because if you haven't made that choice today, I'll just tell you, it's the greatest choice you'll ever make. You hear this one, you say, Pastor, I need to get things right with God for the very first time. Or maybe you've been dormant for decades. Need to get things straight. Would you lift your hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Would you stand with me all across this room today? Listen. I'm sure that most of us, when you walked in the room today, if I would have asked you, hey, what does Matthew chapter 5 say? If I just given you a head start with a word or two, you could have finished that scripture. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and give praise to your Father in heaven. Most of us could say that. We've all at least heard it. The question is, are we doing it? Are we understanding that we, as the church, we are the light of the world? And if we are not the light of the world, there is not another light coming in from some other source. You are the source. You are the instrument of reflecting the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus to this world. And if there's anything that has kept you from doing that, if you've been a basket case in some form or fashion, let's ask the Lord to remove that veil from off of our life, from off our lives today, so that the light of the gospel can be seen in us and through us as a church and as individuals. And that's the prayer I want to pray over you before you go today. Father, I thank you for every person in the room today. Lord, they have value. They have been strategically placed by you. Like a lamp on a stand, you have put different lamps around this city, around Central Arkansas, and even around the world. You've placed them strategically that they can be the light of the world in that place, even if they're the only one. Lord, we know that light shines brightest in dark places. Lord, let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and give praise to you, Lord, our Heavenly Father. Lord, let us not be comfortable blending in when you've called us to stand out. Father, we pray this morning over healing and over hurts during the time of worship. I pray those who are in the straits of life today, they'll continue to sense your strength leading them and guiding them. I pray that in the middle of their storms, they'll sing out and be bold in their faith and confident in their trust in you. So Lord, I pray you'll bless the people today. Lord, bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Give them peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.